Brother Wayne Coates.
Thank you, Brother Elkins, and a very pleasant good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. For the time that is allotted me, I'd like to invite your attention to a passage of Scripture found in Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 9, and continue through verse 11. Our Lord had spoken to the disciples, and Luke says, "When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as they went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven." The word "so" is a little adverb of manner, denoting the manner, of course, in which our Lord will return. The angel here suggested that Christ would come. He would come as you have seen him go into heaven. My friends, I know of no subject nor topic today that is fraught with more seriousness and solemnity and with greater consequences than the return of our blessed Lord. Now, it takes a lot of speculation for men to deny that our Lord is coming again. And, of course, there are always those who are willing to speculate and guess and give a lot of opinions and a lot of theories pertaining to the coming of the Lord. The book of Revelation was written, as we know, about 96 A.D. And when John the Beloved Apostle was writing this letter, he reminds us that the coming of our Lord was still in the future. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, the Bible says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Now notice two or three facts here that I believe are worthy of emphasis. Jesus is coming with the clouds. Every eye shall see him, not just a few of them, but every eye shall see him, they which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth. Now may I remind you that that's going to be at the last day. In John 6:39, the record says, "And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Our Lord here refers to his coming at the last day. Verse 40, he repeats that expression, "I will raise him up at the last day," and again in verse 44, and again in verse 54, "I will raise him up in the last day." In John 11:24, while he was at the home of Mary and Martha, attended upon the death of Lazarus, Martha said unto our Lord, "I know that he," that is Lazarus, "shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Friends, in John chapter 12:48, our blessed Lord said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." There is coming, then, a judgment. It'll be when our Lord returns, and it will be on the last day. I just cannot understand how any person could misconstrue the simplicity of such language as this. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, our Lord describes that last day. He begins this passage by using the little word "when." Now, that denotes the time element. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then," and that's a limiting expression, limiting the time, of course, "then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then," notice the word, please, "then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now in verse 41, we have the little word "then" mentioned again. "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Now verse 46, Jesus said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal." Friends, listen. When our Lord comes, it'll be the judgment day. It'll be the time when the righteous will inherit eternal life, and the wicked will be punished with everlasting destruction. Indeed, no amount of speculative guesswork can sidestep the truth upon this principle. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, when our Lord spoke to His disciples just prior to His ascension back into heaven, He made a wonderful promise, suggesting that I will be with you even unto the end of the world. The world will end at the last day when Jesus comes. Someone says to me, "Preacher, are there any signs pertaining to the coming of Christ?" That's a good question, and I realize full well that people have been talking about signs for centuries. Any person acquainted with profane history can pick up the books that have been written down through the centuries, and there have been various and sundry people who have gone off into speculative teaching pertaining to the signs, but they have been dead wrong, and they still are. I travel up and down the countryside quite a bit, and occasionally I will see a board, a placard, or some sort of a sign out on the highway, and there will be a big sign painted of a palm, and if you will just stop by, Sister So-and-so will read your signs. Well, move on down the road, you'll see an advertisement of some cowboy preacher, and he's going to preach on the signs of the times. I submit to you today, ladies and gentlemen, that one is as valid and correct as the other. You pay Sister So-and-so, and she'll read your signs. You pay the cowboy preacher, and he'll tell you all about the signs, and one of them knows just about as much about it as the other one, and the truth is neither of them know anything about the signs of the times, because there just are no signs given in the Word of God. Now, if there are, I'd like to know where they are. In Matthew chapter 24, and in verse 3, the Lord was asked by the disciples, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, you can search that chapter and all others until time shall be no more, and you're going to find out that Jesus did not give any sign of His coming. In Matthew 24:35-36, a very succinct, simple, plain passage of Scripture, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man." Why, somebody says, "I think I know something about that." Well, you don't. Jesus said, "No man knows," and He moved on farther to say, "Even the angels of God in heaven do not know." Well, who does know pertaining to the day and the hour, the last day, the judgment day? Friends, the Father only. Matthew 24 and verse 36. Now, in Mark 13:30, through about verse 37, when He was elaborating upon this, Jesus went further to say, "Neither the Son." Why, the Son doesn't know even the day nor the hour. And if He doesn't know the hour nor the day, then obviously He doesn't know anything pertaining to the time that He is to come again. Oh, but somebody said, "Preacher, what about those signs in Matthew chapter 24? My friends, they pertain to the destruction of Jerusalem. Two questions were asked there, two very simple questions by the disciples. When shall these things be? Matthew 24, verse 3. Our Lord came out with His disciples, and they were looking at the beauties and the glories of that temple and all of the furnishings that were therein. And Jesus replied to them, and He said that there will not be one of these stones left upon another. And He moved on to discuss the destruction of Jerusalem. These men wanted to know, when will these things be? And Jesus told them some things that would enable the disciples to escape the carnage that would develop when Titus and the Roman legions came marching into the city. Now, the key to the whole thing is in verse 34. I hope you'll pick up your Bible and study. The Lord said, "This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Now, anybody who knows the meaning of that little three-letter word, A-L-L, should not have any trouble at all understanding what our Lord is teaching in this chapter. Oh, there may be a few things, or even many things, about the chapter that some of us do not understand. But even so, verse 34, the Lord said, here is the key to the matter, the generation will not pass till the things that I've been talking about will be fulfilled, and I believe every word of that. Jesus said, this generation, not some far-off race of people or some generation down through the years, but that generation did pass, and the Lord hasn't come yet. Of course, He hasn't come yet. We don't know when He's coming. And, of course, the signs of Matthew 24, which pertain to the destruction of Jerusalem, has not one thing upon the top side of God's earth to do with the coming of our Lord again. There's not anyone living today who lived 2,000 years ago. And, of course, we can understand that. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. The disciples ask Him, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, get it, which the Father hath put in His own power. In the face of that, people today are palavering about the signs of the times and the seasons, and they try to tell me that they know these things. Why, Jesus said, you do not. It isn't given to you to know the times or the seasons. Now, how in the name of reason could it be that I could know something about the times or the signs or the seasons, and our Lord would not even give that to those chosen apostles? I believe we can understand that, friends. In Acts 17 and verse 13, the apostle stood upon Mars Hill, and he said, that God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. Because of this, we are admonished over and over in the Bible to watch. We do not know when the Lord is coming. Mark 13:31 and Matthew 24 and verse 52. I submit to you that whatever the New Testament taught 2,000 years ago pertaining to the return of my Lord, it teaches the identical thing today. Or whatever the New Testament teaches today about the return of Jesus, good people, it taught the same thing 2,000 years ago. Now, did some book, some chapter or verse, teach that Jesus would come very, very soon? When those books, chapters or verses, when the Bible, in fact, was completed 2,000 years ago? Of course not, and I realize the chapters and the verses were not given at that particular time. But when the Bible was closed, when inspiration ceased, I want to know, did these inspired writers present a passage or a principle pertaining to the imminent return of my Lord? Well, if they did teach such a thing, then it was false because the Lord hasn't come as yet. Now, this pertains to the secret things of God. There's a principle in Deuteronomy 29:29 which says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Well, somebody says, I think Paul in 1 Thessalonians taught that Christ was coming soon. Well, he didn't teach any such thing. Paul denies that he taught that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 and 2, I read in the New Testament where he says that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Paul did not suggest that the day of Christ was at hand or imminent. And he clears up this thing. He ought to know what he wrote in the first letter, and he certainly does know what he wrote in the second as well as the first and second letter. And then he said, let no man deceive you by any means. That day, that is the day of Christ, the coming of the Lord, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that while I was yet with you, I told you these things. Jesus then didn't say a thing in the world about his imminent return. And we need to understand that. We need to be watching. Christ is coming in the clouds. That's one thing I do know. And I know one thing, whether he comes sooner or later, I am eventually going to stand before him. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 26, Jesus said, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Let me be watching, let me be waiting. In John chapter 5, 28 and 29, Jesus reminds us, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming into which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, Paul here is discussing the judgment in which all will be raised. The Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, that is, before the living in Christ. The dead and the living will be raised at the same time, all that are in the graves, and then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Our mortal bodies will be changed, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Christ was raised from the dead, and he'll quicken our mortal bodies, Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. I want you to think about the fact that we'll stand before Christ who is the judge, Acts 17 and verse 31, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, and he'll judge nothing until the time comes, or we should judge nothing until the Lord comes. He's going to be the judge of the living and the dead, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. My friends, if you haven't heard the gospel, if you haven't believed it with all of your heart, if you have not turned away from sin in genuine repentance, if you haven't made the good confession, haven't been buried with the Lord in baptism for the remission of your sins, won't you do that? Won't you attend to those duties? Won't you be watching and waiting, having your lamps trimmed and burning bright? The first time my Lord came, he came to seek and to save the lost, Luke 19 and verse 10. In John 3 and verse 17, he came to save the world. In John 12 and verse 42, the Bible says, I came to save the world. The next time he's coming, he'll be coming as judge. It'll be in the last day. It'll be the day of the judgment. Indeed, it will be the end of the world. In Jude verse 3, we are warned by this inspired writer to be ready for the judgment of the great day. Indeed, there is a great day coming. There is a judgment day coming.